Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Stu does America.
Watch us for free on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. Of course, on podcasts as well. Rate and review us there. Never asked to do that, but we'd appreciate it if you do. Also, Stu Does America is on with lots of merch as well. StuDoesMerch.com. The code is Stu10. Get 10% off right now. Dan Andrews is here to unleash his personal jihad on the nation. Which I probably could have phrased that better. He's not an actual threat, just in case anyone from, you know, Department of Homeland Security is watching. Now, there are some threats in Philadelphia, you may know. We're going to check in on the Philadelphia Eagles victory parade and see how many people got shot. But we're going to start by doing the Toronto crash and burn. If you saw this footage, it's absolutely incredible. And I was glued to social media, just refreshing, watching all of this happen. You're probably doing the same thing. You're looking at this and you're like, how can this possibly happen in Toronto? And it apparently did happen, which is absolutely fascinating. Why did it happen? Who can be held responsible are really the questions. And of course, I'm talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and the Blue Jays failing to reach a contract extension. Yeah. All of this time, they failed to reach a contract extension. Incredibly, the Toronto Blue Jays, who got Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in 2015 and have known this entire time, they had until yesterday to figure out how to get this guy signed, completely blew it. And now he's going to go to free agency. If you don't know who he is, I don't know. He hit .376 in the second half last year with 16 home runs and 46 RBIs, an OPS of 1.127, second only to Aaron Judge in the second half last year. One of the best players in the league, and now is going to leave Toronto. And I don't know if you know anything about Toronto. First of all, you might need to know at least that I happen to be America's only Blue Jays fan. But perhaps beyond and more important than that, Toronto is not exactly the most attractive place to go play baseball. Why? Well, you got to deal with Trudeau-level taxation. You got to go through customs every time you come back for a home game. It can be a little bit of a strain. So what basically happens is Toronto threatens to pay $600 and $700 million to people like Shohei Ohtani and Juan Soto, and then they just use them to get more money from other teams, and then don't go to Toronto. And then the one guy who actually wants to stay, they won't pay. So that's the Toronto crash and burn. Now, you might perhaps have seen another story that might be a little bit more relevant to you, not to me, but to you, which was this 18 people injured after a Delta plane landing at Toronto airport overturns. This was absolutely incredible. Snow was blowing at the Toronto airport all day. This is the Pearson Airport, by the way, which is like, if you've ever, you know, you have those certain airports where you have to drive like an hour from the airport to get to a city, and then other airports are right around the corner. The Pearson Airport is like on a little island right across from all the big tall buildings in Toronto. It's like right there, right? But right near, it's right near the stadium. It's like 5 minutes from downtown. You cross a little bridge and you're right in downtown. Snow was blowing at the Toronto airport all day. There was lake effect snow earlier in the day, but no snow was reported on radars at the time of the accident. At the time of the crash, there were 20 to 30 mile an hour winds with reported gusts up to 40 miles an hour. As the passengers were being evacuated, the temperature was 18 degrees with a wind chill temperature of -2. Very, very ugly. Here's the scene on the runway. Now, you may have seen this footage. You can show the footage. You may have seen the footage of the crash earlier. This is just kind of the aftermath of it, where it is you can't really tell there, but it's kind of like the plane is upside down. It's basically hits the ground really hard. If you've ever had a real hard landing, that's kind of what it looked like, with the possible exception of the bursting into flames immediately after, and then it turning over on upside down to the point where the passengers were just upside down being held in by their seat belts. Can you imagine going through that? And you watch this plane upside down at the airport. And I think that's the one that's right there in Toronto. I think it is. Anyway, there's some more footage of it. And if there couldn't be any perfect day to give the perfect analogy for the Toronto Blue Jays front office, an overturned plane in Toronto that had just burst into flames, a complete crash and burn. So congratulations to Toronto. By the way, did I mention that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. did not get re-signed? They actually blew that? Somehow the one thing they needed to do, they couldn't figure out how to do? It would seem to be so easy. And you know, sure, it's not my money, but when you're offering $200 and $300 million more to other players who aren't on your team and aren't the face of your franchise and aren't beloved by your entire fan base, maybe you could come up with half the money for the big star of your team. Maybe a little bit more. Maybe whatever he wants. Just an idea. Now, this Delta Airlines flight kind of happens in a weird sort of context of what's going on in the world, right? Like Donald Trump is elected, people are turning against the woke thing, the DEI is going out the window, and company after company, certainly throughout our federal government, a lot of the companies have said, okay, we had all these DEI programs, we're going to reverse those. We never really kind of wanted to do them anyway, probably, but we felt pressured into it. So we're going to get that out of there. We're going with merit. We want people to be chosen based on whether they could do the job or not. Now, that person could be white or black or women or LGBTQIA2+. Whatever they are, we're going to select them based on the merit of the situation, the merit of the person. This is, of course, the way it should be done. However, Delta Airlines has gone the opposite way. They've been like, you know what? We really believe in all of this DEI. Delta Airlines reaffirmed its commitment to DEI initiatives before the Toronto crash. It is part of our focus, at least not all of their focus. Maybe they should be focusing a little bit more of their attention on flying and landing the planes. Could be something to think about. Lifting as we climb. Yes, that's their big DEI initiative. It's actually, they actually say on the website, still to this day, diversity, equity, and inclusion. We actively seek diversity, boldly pursue equity, and consciously promote inclusion to create a sense of belonging for all people. They're like, hey, ChatGPT, can you use diversity, equity, and inclusion in a sentence? It's obviously all gobbledygook, but just churn something out so we can put something on our website. So that's what happened there. And of course, this was the focus of the documentary that I did, Countdown to the Next Aviation Disaster. You can watch it right now, blazeoriginals.com/stew. The whole thing is also up on YouTube if you want to go search for it there. It's, you know, it's been watched quite a bit and is one of the, it's, you know, did very, very well for terrible reasons, frankly, because it did well at the beginning when we released it. But honestly, it's picked up steam ever since then, largely because planes keep flying into things or out of the sky or crashing into stuff. And that has been a big problem. What is the reason for that? People want answers. It is a very weird time. What the heck is going on? And there's some definite warning signs in the documentary that you can see. Now, that's America's next aviation disaster. The other thing you can always look forward to is you're never more than 1 year away from Canada's next front office disaster. And today was no Guerrero contract. They actually could not sign Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Just want to point that out again as we talk about Toronto crashing and burning. Now, of course, the media has been crashing and burning for a very long, 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 long time. And they continue to do this thing where it's the same approach. I think we might touch on this tomorrow, too, because the media is going down the same roads over and over again. The same, you know, we kept mocking them for saying, oh, we're going to try Trump as Hitler. Maybe that'll work this time. It's the same thing. Everything is Trump's fault. Everything is blamed on Trump. All they do is talk about everything that he says. They obsess about everything that he says all the time. They don't even look at what he's actually doing. And when they do that, they lie about it. And NBC was trying this. NBC senior correspondent Tom Costello trying to figure out, how did this accident happen?
This is going to yet again raise the concern about FAA staffing, air traffic control staffing.
Is it?
Now, this is a Canadian air traffic control tower,
oh,
and this is under Canadian authority once it crosses the border. And yet, as you know, there has been this talk about maybe staff cuts at the FAA as a part of President Trump's effort to trim down the federal workforce. Yet, as you also know, the FAA has been complaining for years that they are understaffed and critical job positions, especially air traffic control.
Now, of course, I talked about that in the documentary as well, but I did not talk about it in regards to Canadian airspace because it wouldn't have anything to do with that. What it does, there is one little part of this, though, that that does actually factor in. The DEI stuff, which we have no idea. It's got, I mean, this looks like an accident, but the DEI stuff that happened in America happens through air traffic control, which is the focus of the documentary, but it's also happening at these airlines. So we do have a situation where, you know, potentially there is a pilot or a crew that is maybe not as qualified as they should be and are put in there because of the basis of the color of their skin and not the basis of the content of their ability to be able to fly and land planes successfully. It does look like a pretty bad effort to land this plane. You do have those downwinds that sometimes really can cause rough landings. You probably have had one of those before. I know we've had really rough landings before where you're just coming down and you just slam it and it is loud and you're like, what just happened? That does happen. But the amount of force that is needed to land a plane like that, that crashes like that and jam just absolutely slaughters itself into the ground. And you see flames and you see smoke and it's just really, really ugly. That is that's a lot. That is, there's a lot going on there to actually have that much damage be done. So we will see. They'll investigate this, of course. And obviously, there's no investigation needed for people on the left. They don't need that. They don't need to wait for the facts. They don't need to wait for any of that information to come in. All they have to do is look around and wait until they see Donald Trump. And then they can start blaming him. Chuck Schumer is blasting Trump FAA layoffs after Delta plane overturns on landing Toronto. President fired safety specialists, which is, did he fire Canadian safety specialists? I know he's interested in making them the 51st state. My understanding is that has not gone through yet. So don't think that's going to be the situation. Delta flight flips upside down in Toronto. Experts weigh in on as the internet reacts. It feels unsafe to fly in Trump's America. The internet reacts. The laziest thing a journalist or someone pretending to be a journalist can do is like, the internet is reacting to something. The internet reacts to everything. You can always write a story that the internet is reacting. That's not a thing. But does it feel unsafe to fly in Trump's America? Is this a Trump problem? I will say it is weird how many times we've been seeing plane crashes make the news lately, which is very, very strange. Glenn keeps blaming me for making the documentary. I don't know if it was really my fault, but that's what he keeps saying. It's one of those things. I don't know if it's like a shark attack situation. If you remember years ago, there was like everything in the news was about shark attacks because there was a few people bitten by sharks. And then after the summer ended, they were like, oh, actually, the shark attacks were down. Like for whatever reason, those particular shark attacks got into the news. And then it felt like every time anything happened, they were bringing it up as a big news story. It could be one of those situations. I know there are small, you know, air incidents all the time. In fact, we talk about them throughout that documentary. We're talking about near misses happening 2 and 3 times a week, right? This is happening often. It's just not supposed to happen as often as it seems to right now. Now, Donald Trump has been in office for less than a month. So it's kind of hard to say that this is him. I mean, it's amazing, but they're trying it anyway. Really American, which, by the way, is not actually Really American on Twitter. This is the internet reacting, by the way. Really American 1. It's actually Really American 1. He couldn't get the Really American title. He's Really American 1. But breaking, yet another passenger plane has crash landed. This one, a Delta plane that flipped upside down with 80 passengers at Toronto's Pearson Airport. Miraculously, no fatalities have been reported. The chaos continues under the Trump administration. Now, what would the Pearson Airport have to do with the Trump administration? I don't even know at this point. Trump began firing FAA, radar, landing, and navigation staff just hours before the Delta Toronto crash. You see, if he had just kept those 5 or 6 employees that were fired from the FAA on staff, they would have been able to catch this Canadian crash or something. No one even knows what could possibly be happening here, but that's what they're saying. And of course, the other internet headline that was a complete catastrophe, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. not signed by the Toronto Blue Jays. They couldn't come up with they had all these years to come up with a contract for this guy, and they couldn't piece it together. I mean, you want to talk about people who should be fired immediately. They need to go and absolutely, without regard for people, for placement, for families, go in and absolutely doge the Toronto Blue Jays front office. I want to say, I hope it's empty. It should just be empty for the next 6 months. They shouldn't even have anybody in there because they certainly can't seem to fill the building with people who are actually competent. So there you go. That's my Toronto crash and burn story. I will tell you that I was very upset about the plane crash, of course, but I was excited to see that no one, thankfully, was killed. I don't know how. I mean, frankly, when your plane turns upside down, you feel like there's going to be some really bad news. A bunch of people were hurt. I think 18 were hurt. A couple of people were in the hospital for an extended period of time, but seemed to be okay. So that one turned out okay. Not going to turn out okay with the Blue Jays. They're going to wind up losing their best player for probably nothing. They should probably just trade him at this point and hope to get a haul for him and then just realize that they've screwed this up. And then they should just leave their jobs. And the problem is if you trade the guy, you have the horrible front office people that did all this and are responsible for this who are there to make the trade. So they'll probably screw that one up too. And then I'll have a whole new Toronto monologue to tie. I'll figure out something. It'll be on Trudeau or something. And then I'll tie in how terrible the Toronto Blue Jays front office seems to be these days. This is just the anger speaking. And I will say, it's a little hard to get worked up right now about anything, because I don't know if you know this, but the Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champs. So my two teams, unrelated as they might seem, are on totally different sides of the world right now. And it's a little bit conflicting inside, but I'll live with it. I can't really get mad at anything. And that's just where I am because of the situation with the Toronto Blue Jays. Okay, coming up in a second, we're going to have Dan Andros on. And if you think I'm fired up about the Blue Jays, wait until you hear him on his. He's got a personal jihad going on in his life. It's basically the ultimate personal struggle for Dan Andros. He's going to bring that to us and so much more coming up next. You know that planning for the future is not fun. It really isn't. And as we find out, a lot of baseball teams don't even do it. So it's really time consuming as well when you go through all this stuff to try to prepare yourself for the future. There's so much to think about, right? Something as big as creating a will or a trust might feel overwhelming to you. But you also need to know that it's about time you got it taken care of. The good news is trust and will makes creating those things easy. And I'm talking like laying on the couch easy. Their website is super easy to use. The process is straightforward. And they have a step-by-step process that guides you from start to finish, one question at a time. And before you know it, you'll have that resolution marked off of your list. And you'll be moving on to other really fun things to do. Because there's so much to do in the world. Why do you want to sit around doing this, these documents for hours and hours and hours? Get it knocked out. It's very important that your family is prepared and protected in the event that something unfortunate happens to you. With Trust and Will, you can make sure every detail is buttoned up. Trust and Will has an overall rating of excellent and thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot. Uncomplicate the process with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes. And trustandwill.com/America is the place to go to do that. Trustandwill.com/America. Get 10% off plus free shipping. It's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/America. So I have Dan Andros scheduled for our next segment. And I know, because I was just talking about air traffic situations, that if I brought that up and then had Dan on, I knew there was going to be a little bit of a problem. Because every time I bring up really anything about planes, like that I might be going on one, or that I saw one in the sky, or that they exist, I'm going to hear an endless rant about an airport expansion in New Jersey. And you might say, well, why would he go on an endless rant about New Jersey airports? And that's a great question, first of all. But the answer to that is not one that I can just contain within my own segment. So I figured if I'm going to have Dan on in an air-themed show, we're going to have to lead with Dan Andros. He is the managing editor at CBN News, and he's host of CBN's Quick Start podcast, which you can subscribe to wherever you get your podcast. And Dan, we're going to start right here, right off the top, with Dan Andros does his own personal jihad.
Yes. Dan? Like it. I like it. Stu, I need to get Elon Musk's attention. I need Doge's attention. I've been sort of just sitting back. I mean, other than complaining to you, I've had no recourse in this, right? Mm-hmm. Like my house is in the flight path of a smaller airport, which honestly, I typically don't mind. I don't mind it at this level. I don't mind seeing a few planes fly by. It's cool. I actually think it's kind of neat seeing one, you know, on its approach or whatever. And it's right over my trees, you know, but I don't want 100 of them, right? Like I live in a neighborhood here. I don't need it constantly all day long. And that because of essentially some local politicians and Mayor Pete Buttigieg is probably what's going to happen here in Trenton. Well, the Trenton area. I live in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, on the Pennsylvania side of things. But it's going to happen, and it's going to be, I think, a financial boondoggle. I think this is the bridge to nowhere in the sky. Let me give you the scenario here. Yeah. So Trenton's got this small airport, right? And Frontier, it used to be just like private jets. I think it was built in the 70s. And so it's just either really small charter jets or, you know, that sort of thing. And Frontier decided to use it as a hub for some reason. We're 30 minutes from Philadelphia. We're 45 minutes from the Newark airport. Like, you don't really need, it's a nice little, saves you some time, I guess, if you're in the suburbs of Philadelphia, but it's a 30 minute to drive to Philly. It is not a big deal to get to the Philadelphia airport at all. So for whatever reason, Frontier said, you know what, we're going to go there. We're going to do that. And so they've been flying there, and they've been flying a few flights a day, and you know, it is what it is. It's fine. But then they announced this $200 million expansion of this airport. And it got approved by Pete Buttigieg. He showed up one day and he walked around and smiled, having absolutely no idea what's going on. Look at the pretty trees. Oh, you want to approve this? Okay, fine. I mean, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's signing it off. What? He's the environmental guy, by the way. But he's like, hey, let's go ahead and expand the airports into neighborhoods. This sounds like a great idea. This is in a residential area, both on the New Jersey side and the Pennsylvania side. Now, I was shocked, Stu, when I look, because I'm thinking, okay, they're saying it's a $200 million expansion.
Right.
Upgrade, which it's actually expansion. They're making it like four times the size. So they kind of skirted the words on that in order to get that approved.
They sold it as an upgrade, and they're expanding it four times the size?
Right. They're like, the facilities are outdated, you know, which is true, right? Like, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. They're like, old facilities, you got to update them, whatever. But that's how they build it. They didn't build it as an expansion. And then they're like, hey, by the way, this is going to be 125,000 square feet. Don't worry about that. Don't pay attention to the details on that. But they're saying it's going to be $200 million. So, Stu, what would you guess then the actual price of this thing is going to be?
We all know that initial number is never even close to what it is. I mean, if it's less than $500 million, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, 100%. So it's going to be at least $500 million. But let's even go on their $200 million facelift estimate, right? Facelift, of course, that's what they call it. No, it's actually expansion. But I look up the revenue, and they only make like $2 million a year in revenue at this airport. So we're looking at what, being generous, 100 years before we get this money back. If it's $500 million, but even that though, Stu, you won't get it back because airports need upgrades over time. They have to be new technology comes out. Everything happens. They're going to have to update every 40 to 50 years. So they're just spending hundreds and hundreds of millions for what? So that a couple people in the suburbs have a shorter drive to the airport? This makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. On a whole bunch of levels, Stu, the math isn't adding up. 200 years to break even on this thing. I want to know who's getting greased on this. I want Elon Musk. I want Doge to look into saying, like, why are we spending $500 million so that we will never make the money back, so that Frontier can fly around a couple of extra flights a year? Like, this makes absolutely no sense to me. It's less than $500,000 passengers a year. The Philadelphia airport, I think, is like 30 million passengers a year. So it's not like you're going to be competing with Philly or like taking over or like replacing that in any way, shape or form. This seems to me like waste. And also, it doesn't help, Stu, that planes are falling out of the sky every day. And they're like, hey, I've got a great idea. How about we just make this airport near all these houses bigger? No thanks. I mean, I know I sound like maybe a NIMBY here, Stu, which I learned this phrase because of me doing this, not in my backyard. Mm-hmm. Am I being NIMBY here, or do I have a legitimate gripe?
Well, I think it's a mixture. I think there's definitely a NIMBY. And when you say what you don't want in your backyard, it's a jet falling out of the sky. So it's somewhat right. Understandable, I guess. I do think, though, that because I think this is part of the Inflation Reduction Act, which, I mean, as you could probably tell, it is going to definitely reduce inflation. That we can, of course, recognize the expansion of an airport. But it is, I mean, honestly, if they've ever seen you come on the show, it's possible they did this intentionally just to bother you. I think that's at least a possibility if Mayor Pete is involved.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm looking into the funding on this, too, because I'm like, who's funding this thing? Mm-hmm. And the only reason it hasn't started yet is because for some reason, all the funding hasn't come through yet. But I think it may have crossed its last few hurdles or whatever. But it is funded by the Airport Improvement Program, 90% of it, which is the federal government, essentially. And they, you know, approve these funds and get it going through. So the federal government's going to be, Elon, I can save you $500 million here in your quest. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah. And not to mention, if he flies into town, he'll have the private jet. So he doesn't need this. So
Frontier jets in his way. We'll get him out of the way.
Exactly. So, all right, there you go. It's a sales pitch to Elon directly. If Doge is available, I will also tell the audience this is about 1/3 of the normal rant I get from Dan on this topic. There could be more. Maybe we'll just do a personal jihad for Dan Andros multiple times until this thing is stopped. This is the hill you die on, Dan.
Yeah. No, it is. It is. And look, again, it's the bridge to nowhere in the air. What are we doing? Why are we expanding an airport? The FAA's own website, Stu, this is one I forgot to mention, says that they do not do this. They're like, no, we don't do this.
They don't expand airports
in a residential area. Look at every airport that you have. Like, it's Philadelphia. It's by the shipyard, right? Like Newark, it's by, you know, not all the highways that are right there and all the oil fields. Like that's where you put airports. You don't, the little small ones with propeller planes and stuff are the ones that are near kind of houses and stuff.
Yeah. I will say too,
big deal.
I used to live in this area, and you know, you think of Trenton, I think most people just think of either like mobsters or like crime. There actually are really nice areas about, you know, I mean, technically in the Trenton area, but just outside of that. And they're really nice areas. And that's kind of where this, if I remember right, that's kind of where the airport is, right? It's like in a relatively nice area.
Yeah. I mean, it's near Ewing, New Jersey. I mean, there's just nice neighborhoods back there. And yeah, I mean, it's just, and they can't go eminent domain in certain directions because they're right next to 95. So like they'd have to build like a runway over 95. I mean, it would be insane if they're trying to do more with that. One other thing I'll add, Stu, is if they're going to ramrod this through, if the federal government is going to say, you know what, we don't care, we're going eminent domain, we're ignoring all of our rules, what our regulations, whatever. Also in their rules, it says that they have to take remedial measures, quoting now, such as purchase of property or sound insulation of residential property that is exposed to significant aircraft noise. As one of the residents in the flight path, I demand my new windows. I want soundproofing windows on this house so that I don't have to hear anything.
This is how it gets to 500 million. This is exactly how it happens, Dan. They start giving out free windows to everybody.
Listen, if they're going to spend it and they're going to make planes fly over my house, they need to do something for me. Good for me other than fly the planes over my house.
And no, Dan, you're not NIMBY at all. I want to make sure not in my backyard. Definitely does not describe you in any way when it comes to this. Well, I mean, we could talk about this for the entire show, but what I will say is now we have about 2 minutes left in this segment. We had other stuff to get to. We'll have to do it another time. However, if you could use the same passion that you have for stopping this airport expansion in your neighborhood, and please apply it to firing Adam Silver as NBA commissioner. What a disastrous weekend we just saw.
It was, except for the actual playing of basketball, which was like 5 minutes of the time, which was enjoyable. Apparently, we have a commissioner who doesn't like basketball or thinks people don't like basketball. Here's an idea, Adam. Make them play basketball and make them care about playing basketball. Everyone's like, how do you fix the All-Star game? Make them care. Ask them before, are you going to try in this game? Do you give a flying crap about playing in this game? No? Okay, you're out. We're putting somebody else in. Put somebody in there who's going to actually try. because I just actually saw a clip before we came on, Stu, of like the 2001 All-Star game with Allen Iverson and Kobe you know, Stephon Marbury. And it's awesome. They're like, you know, they're of course not playing like full help defense and all that stuff, a little bit, but like, you know, there's certain things you don't do at an All-Star game, but they were trying. They were playing one-on-one defense, like, because that's awesome. That's what you can do in an All-Star game. And meanwhile, hockey, of all things, is putting them to shame, Stu.
Yeah.
Adam Silver is letting hockey. I'm more interested in watching this stupid hockey Four Nations thing, which I didn't know about because of the USA thing and the brawling and all that versus Canada. I might even tune into that thing. Like, they're out there brawling, and these NBA guys can't be bothered to try for 4 seconds on the court or even pretend to try. It's pathetic.
And all the ridiculous stuff. There, you know, there's like a new musical performance every quarter, and they've got like comedians. Like,
shut up.
Yeah, like just talking during the game to the players. And it's just like, I mean, he's terrible. He by far brought of all the leagues. People bash, you know, Roger Goodell, who, by the way, puts out an incredible product every year. I don't know. The guy's always getting bashed, but he put out an incredible product. He does it every single year. Obviously, the best product this year with the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. But then in addition to that, you have Adam Silver, who went as more woke than any other league. The NBA went more woke than any of these other leagues by a long shot. The players don't even play in the games. He's constantly coddling them, and he's, you know, made the All-Star game, which was on its last legs maybe even before he got in there, but has made it much, much, much worse. Really, it is and ratings are down. Like, what is this guy doing? Other than looking like a weird alien, what is he doing?
And he went Illuminati and forced the Luka Doncic trade.
Yes.
Should've. I mean, we'll have to investigate that another time, too, Stu.
Thank you. Well,
that's messed up.
Well, I can tell you, Dan Andros, I appreciate you coming on. Managing editor of CBN News. Ratings bonanza. We've got Trenton Airport talk. We've got hockey talk. Hey. We've got Toronto Blue Jays talk in the episode today. I mean, it's just what the people are demanding, Dan.
Everyone, tweet this. Throw it on X to Elon Musk. Put this segment out there. I'm trying to save the taxpayers $500 million, Stu. I'm here for the people.
There you go. Dan Andros, a tax activist here on the program. Dan, thanks so much for coming on.
All right, Stu.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Tchibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffeegrande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Tchibo-Filiale und auf tchibo.de.
I don't know if I mentioned this, but the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl just a couple of weeks ago, and it was glorious and just the best thing that could ever happen on this earth. That being said, they had a parade afterward, and as you might expect, that got a little bit out of hand. It does tend to happen occasionally when a bunch of, you know, maybe a million or so Philadelphia Eagles fans get together and get hammered. Not always the best outcomes. However, let's give it up for Philadelphia. Only two people shot. And that was, wow, great job, guys. Congratulations. You're not really going all out like they have in previous years. But hey, you know, we won only a few years ago. So maybe people have already got most of the violence out of their system. Two people were shot. By the way, this is about cutting somebody off in a porta potty line, which is, I mean, you must really have to go badly, I will say, because they tried to cut off the porta potty line to go. First of all, anytime you have to go to a porta potty at all means you're in absolute emergency situation, right? And then you add on cutting people off, a line of angry Eagles fans, drunk Eagles fans. You're going in there to, you don't want to do that. That's a terrible idea. So two people shot, but they went to the medical tent and they're going to be fine. So, I mean, that's like basically a normal everyday interaction in Philly. So that's no big deal at all. Now in Austin, we have a situation where, you know, the crime prevention system maybe not exactly living up to what it's supposed to. There was a murder that happened. An Austin teenager was charged with murder. And, you know, normally when you have someone who's quite clearly seemingly murdered someone, allegedly, of course, but seemingly the evidence was pretty clear that he murdered a couple of people. That whole situation's going on. And so they put a bond together and it was $800,000. Okay, $800,000, a big number. They did reduce it. In this case, they reduced it from $800,000 to $100. So you're going to be surprised to hear he actually made bail. And so a murderer is apparently out. A house arrest, but still really good. Good job, guys. I mean, that is it is these left wing cities, and Austin, by the way, it would fit that description. Really fascinating how they deal with crime. I mean, Donald Trump, if the guy crosses the street and not on the crosswalk, they try to put him in prison for multiple years. But God forbid you go out and murder someone. If you happen to be the right color or the right party, nothing's going on. You're going to be totally fine. So congratulations about that. A big update to a story we talked to you about a couple weeks ago. This is the Ziz cult. What is the Ziz cult? We talked about it with Andy Ngo. He was on, and he's the one that really reported on this. It's a bizarre trans cult that has been going around the country murdering people, the leader of which, who's named himself Ziz, apparently after like something in The Fifth Element, which seems like just a... if you're going to name yourself after a Bruce Willis movie, is that really the one you're going to pick? I mean, it's just a strange one. Anyway, that is Jack Lasota is his name. He is actually arrested in Maryland. Multiple killings this group was responsible for. Finally, this guy has been captured and hopefully will never get out again, as he's seemingly responsible for a cult that murdered a bunch of people. Again, we're saying allegedly the entire time in this entire crime rant I'm giving you. Now, there is another crime that everyone saw what happened. It was no surprise. We actually saw it on video. We saw a guy who was, to be honest, incredibly good looking, go up behind an executive, a healthcare executive, and shoot him in the back multiple times and kill him. And so his family gets to relive that moment over and over again because some people don't like, I think, that claims were denied or something. There wasn't really a coherent reason why in his manifesto that he actually did this, but he's been cheered on over and over again because I think he has abs. Or something like that. And apparently Caitlin Collins, the CNN correspondent, is sucked right into all of that beauty. And she, of course, is supposed to be a news person, but instead created a post and actually promoted Luigi Mangione's defense fund. Now, she deleted this after the backlash, but a shocking thing to come from somebody who's supposedly in the news. And remember, again, I bring this up from time to time with Caitlin Collins. This is a person who was hired by Tucker Carlson. This is someone who was working at the Daily Caller for a while and has now turned into like the farthest left person in the news. So I don't know how that happens. I guess Donald Trump has the effect on some people and they lose their minds. And finally, the CIA is flying covert drone missions into Mexico to spy on drug cartels. That's according to CNN. More accurately, the CIA used to be flying covert drone missions into Mexico to spy on drug cartels. But now they're just flying drone missions because they're no longer covert, thanks to the reporting of CNN. So we just want to thank you for that. No damage at all done to our country from cartels. And we want to thank CNN for helping them look out, because you never know when a drone is watching you. We hear a lot about the supply chain in this country because, you know, it's been unpredictable lately and it can be very fragile at very important times. When your package is, you know, let's say delayed for a few weeks, it can be annoying. But what about your essential medications? What if they're delayed? That is not annoying. That is really an emergency, right? And as we're heading into another period of potential uncertainty, right now is a great time to prepare. And Jace is here to help you do just that. They provide emergency medical kits that are customized to your specific needs, whether you're traveling or you're buying it for the kids or maybe just need peace of mind in case of emergency. Jace has got you covered. Right now, they're holding giveaways all month long to make sure that you have the right medications on hand the moment you need it. And, you know, of course, that's really important. You can win anything from a travel case, which is called the Jace Go. You got to have one of these things, the Jace Go. Or you can get a fully custom Jace case, which is more thorough. Right now is the time, I would say, to protect yourself from uncertainty. Your health is important, and it is something you need to focus on. Go to Jace.com. Enter the giveaway to purchase your own case. The code is STU at checkout for a discount on your order. It's promo code STU at Jace.com, J-A-S-E.com. The promo code is STU.
that up to DOJ. What I find disturbing is that any member of Congress wants to educate people how to evade law enforcement. You can claim you're educating those constitutional rights. Okay, you can keep that claim. But what she in fact is doing is telling people don't open your door, hide in your home, don't talk to ICE. We're talking about people who are in the country illegally, committed a crime, they're a public safety threat, they've been convicted of serious crime, and they've been ordered removed by a federal judge. So it's like AOC and others don't want ICE to enforce the laws that they enacted. She's a member of Congress. Let us enforce the laws you enacted. That's what we're supposed to do.
You can't go after her. Do you think others should?
No, I think I've asked DOJ, where is that line of impediment, of interference? And now, if someone stands in your way, prevents you from arresting somebody, put your hands on you, that's impediment. But what line is telling people to hide from ICE, not open the door? Where do you cross that line on impediment? So I've simply asked the Department of Justice.
That's a fascinating line there, because we are at that point now where many in the Democratic Party are just coming out and actively telling people who are illegal immigrants not to follow the law, not to to interact with police when they've broken the law. It's a very strange thing. And this is now, you know, a couple of times we've seen Democratic politicians do things like this. We talked about Phil Murphy, the governor of New Jersey, who said, basically, I've got a legal immigrant above my garage. She's been hanging out there. And, you know, come and get her. I dare you. Come and get her. And then they were like, OK, we're going to come and get her. He's like, I don't really have one. I swear, no, of course not. I don't actually have one living there. Don't go look or anything like that. Certainly, I didn't move her after I said that. That's what's going on with the Democratic Party, because they're lawless. I mean, they, especially when it comes to the border, they just don't care about any of this stuff. They don't want these things to be crimes, so they wish cast them away. That's not how the law actually works. I guess I am sometimes surprised about how the law does work. Supposedly, I would love to see the truth on this one, but supposedly the governor of New York can just get rid of the mayor of New York City. I don't understand why. Governor is weighing removing New York City Mayor Adams after his top deputies quit amid criminal case turmoil. There's a lot to this story. We don't have time to go through all of it right now. The way the story reads, though, is that the city's charter, New York City's charter, lays out a court-like process by which the governor must first serve the mayor with a copy of the charges she feels warrant his removal, then provide him with an opportunity to be heard in his defense. But there's little precedent or blueprint on how that would actually work. Hochul noted in her statement, the removal powers have never once been used against a sitting mayor in New York's history. But again, you know, we're in lawfare land, right? Eric Adams has some of, and I don't really even understand the affinity that Trump has for Adams or that Adams has for Trump. I don't know what that relationship is. I don't really understand it. People seem to get really worked up if you're opposed to Eric Adams in any way. I mean, look, Adams, I think, is, you know, I'd rather have him than, you know, Bill de Blasio or certainly Andrew Cuomo. But, you know, that being said, I have no affinity or loyalty to Eric Adams. If he committed crimes, like, fine. Trump seems to have some relationship with him. And because even in the letter about him being kind of excused from this, they said they didn't even really look into the charges. So it could still come back in theory to Eric Adams. There's been all sorts of controversy on this, including judges, you know, conservative judges stepping down over it. It's a bizarre, bizarre tale. We'll get into that maybe more as it develops. And also, Americans on food stamps could be banned from buying bad food and sugary drinks, says the Trump USDA chief. This is now, it's, you know, RFK Jr. is getting in there. He's obviously against junk food. And you think to me, hey, Stu, you probably hate this policy because obviously, look at you. You eat junk food all the time. By the way, Golden Sriracha Doritos, 8 out of 10. Fantastic. You're going to love them. So you look like somebody who eats junk food all the time. You probably want this. And actually, I'm the opposite of that. I am fine with limiting the amount of food that food stamps buy. I'm a Ben Franklin in this situation. And you could see, obviously, I'm basically a founder of this country. I've contributed that much. But, like, make them uncomfortable in their poverty. That is what Ben Franklin talked about back in the day. And the idea is, like, if you're going to be on a government program, You shouldn't be getting all of the perks that everyone else has. There was a story online the other day about someone who went up behind someone in line who paid for all their food with food stamps and then bought a TV with cash. It's like nobody likes this. Nobody thinks this is okay. And it's like, you know, look, if these things aren't healthy, we certainly shouldn't be promoting them and letting people, you know, buy little chocolate donuts, the donuts of champions, with food stamps. You know, we want to limit that to things that are healthy. I mean, I Do I think the government will make the correct choice on that? Probably not. But still, it should be limiting. It shouldn't be something where you're getting, your Thanksgiving dinner needs taken care of for you every single time. Food stamps should be something that's temporary, that you want to get off of, not something that you can celebrate all your delicious goodies. By the way, I think to this moment, you can still buy golden sriracha Doritos with food stamps. And if that's true, get some today. The latest episode of Matt Kibbe's documentary series, The Cover-Up, is here. Watch episode 4 of The Cover-Up, Smoking Gun, on Blaze TV, which is out now. Become a subscriber at FauciCoverUp.com/Stew. If you use the code SMOKINGGUN, you'll get $30 off your subscription to Blaze TV. FauciCoverUp.com/Stew. The code is SMOKINGGUN for $30 off your subscription. Think about doing a documentary on the Toronto Blue Jays and how they've completely blown their relationship with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That's coming up. It's a 27-part series. And all it's going to do is basically be as me and showing different pieces of footage of planes crashing and explaining how it's very similar to how the Blue Jays are running their team currently. We'll see you tomorrow.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.